Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in ever again. That's how quick and easy it is to set up your security system from Simply Safe. Just go to simplysafe.com/Adam and choose all the sensors you need and get your custom system set up fast at Simply Safe. And you get a free security camera at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. Well, we'll get into painstaking detail of Gina's bachelorette party. I have a lot of thoughts on bachelorette parties and bachelor parties. We'll do a little sad bachelorette club DJ as well coming your way. And spent the weekend with Mike August's parents. Tell you about that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working with Geico? Take your homeowner's or your renter's policy and bundle it up with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do around the house already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com.
One third of all murder cases in America remain open.
He had told me that if I opened my eyes, he would slit my throat.
Each one is called a cold case.
The DNA evidence taken from the victim was a match. The linen rapist was at it again.
Based on the hit A&E television program.
A phone call is placed, one that changes a family's life forever.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
If you could see the fire in his eyes, he screamed at me. You want it? Get your tape recorder out.
Get new episodes of Cold Case Files every Tuesday on Podcast One, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, New York Times best-selling author Brad Thor, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, proud woman celebrating his body, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but gonna mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Just saw the numbers and they went up. So thanks for sharing the show. We appreciate that. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball Brian.
Shit, yeah!
Dawson's running a little late today because he may have just woken up.
It's awesome.
But
awesome Dawson.
Get Gary's on the call. Did he?
He was clearly not aware that the show was 3 minutes from starting. I don't know if he woke up. He answered the phone like, hey, what's up, dude? And I said, Adam's in his seat waiting to go. And he went, oh, fuck. And then he just basically start without me. And then he hung up.
Oh, okay.
I'm having Royal Caribbean cruise flashbacks.
It is the early afternoon.
It is the early afternoon, to be fair to Dawson. And he's a good 12 minutes from here.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's pretty close.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he probably needs to, he'd have to hit the road moments before one. Yeah. All right. So, Gina Grad.
Yes.
Bachelorette party.
Oh, boy.
That's where you were last weekend.
I was.
Right?
And I was given the all clear, I think, a little early before this became a full group show this weekend. So, thank you very much for bearing with me. It was amazing. Have you ever heard of the Palma Valley? Palma? P-A-U-M-A?
No.
It's near San Diego. We stayed in a house that, and we have some pictures, John DeLorean's former compound.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
The creator of the DeLorean. There's another picture at the front
the
of the house.
The slowest, heaviest, crappiest, coolest car.
Well, they went back in time, goddammit.
This house was phenomenal. It's 5 bedrooms. It was just kind of this big sprawling sort of compound on this beautiful land.
Where in the world is this?
Okay. This is a place called Palma Valley that I've never heard of, near Julian. Like,
you're gonna have to go. Even, I know. This is like local zooming show. Out of the Google Maps,
like San Diego County shit. Right. And this, everything you're
Temecula?
Seeing, farther down.
Oh wow!
Everything you're seeing, this is an entire like gated city, like this Shangri-La crazy city that's all like one way in, one way out. I don't know how they do wildfires, but it is this beautiful, like you go in through the gate, you have to give them your name. There's a like giant golf courses. It looks like heaven. So there were 10 of us.
It's like a big Spanish compound / vineyard,
right.
Even if it's not a vineyard, but that's what it looks like.
And it's kind of vineyard country, although Brian would disagree.
Bum wine country.
And what do? You just rent the place out for the weekend?
We did. Yeah, we Airbnb'd it. And it's this beautiful pool, and the girls just filled the pool with rafts and a life-size, like an actual size floating golf cart. Mm-hmm. Just because who doesn't want one?
Oh, yeah.
And just all these, you know, I had two rules, and it's funny what...
Let me say this about the pool. I think China and Amazon has made us all into ugly Americans, because when I was a kid, your pool offerings were very limited.
There was a cement hole.
There was a Ziffy board. No, the stuff you could play with in the pool. Yeah, they had this weird blue... skim board called a Ziffy board, which would somehow fill up with water every 40 minutes. You had to hold it up and kind of squeeze it out. I'm not sure why it had the squeeze nose in the front, but anyway, you had the Ziffy board. You had this weird foam orb that you could strap on like a seatbelt.
Like
and it essentially wouldn't stop a three-year-old from drowning, but it'd be easier for the paramedic to gaff on.
Yeah.
Like you could hook them and pull them to the side.
And
you could dredge them easier.
And that was even a new invention, because it was just the arm floaties that always deflated on the child.
They had the water wings.
Yeah.
They had that weird styrofoam orb, and they had the Ziffy board. Those were the only items permitted in the pool. Now they have the huge slice of pizzas
we
and
had
the golf carts and an
swans,
avocado.
Flamingos.
We had an avocado with a detachable pit.
And I think we're just doing this to annoy the terrorists
at this point.
Because a picture of you floating in a giant pool of water.
Yeah.
That's clean, sustainable, and drinkable,
salt.
But we choose to pee in it.
It's sea salt.
And then now you're floating on a giant piece of food they'll never see, the pizza.
You're absolutely
mocking them with every
swim.
This was
after we had cleared out the floats, because there was no real estate to float with all the shit they threw in there. And I have a better picture of the golf cart. It has a full like Surrey with the fringe on top for the fair girls that can't be in the sun too long.
That's offensive.
It's vulgar.
Yeah.
It's ugly. It's an ugly American thing.
Well, she's
not
ugly.
It is a beautiful blonde that's floating in a golf cart,
yes.
An inflatable golf cart.
Correct.
The symbol of luxury on land now must float.
Correct.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you.
That's true.
So it's very funny that Brian and Gary are like, oh, like strippers, penis draws, because the one...
I was projecting.
The one rule I had was... no strippers, no penis draws, specifically. Two rules, thank you. Strippers make me sad. I know we're supposed to be having a good time, but then 5 minutes into a guy strippering for women, everyone's pretending they're having a good time, and then you can't. One time we had to tell, literally one of my friends went out and was like, scat, get out of here, scat, scoot.
Did she have a broom?
She might as well. She's a very Minnesotan. Like, go,
she
scat.
She shooed a male stripper
that was
called? Yes,
like they just wouldn't leave. Like when it was time, like he got paid and he just wanted to hang, like because there was a bunch of like pretty girls there.
Well, from what I've gathered from the internet, you guys send a mixed message. We're not; these guys aren't sure if they're just
so
a gun for hire or they're getting a blowjob.
That's true.
Like, they don't know what the rules are.
I get it.
So with female strippers showing up to a bachelor party, there's a set of rules.
Right, no touching.
But the rules are presided over by the female strippers.
Okay.
So if, in fact, they would like to go to the master bedroom with the bachelor or whatever, they may.
Got it.
But
their call. Yeah.
They are the sheriff.
Right.
They are in charge of those rules.
Right.
It's kind of interesting that when a male comes to perform at a female bachelorette party, the customer are now making the rules.
That's right.
Again, it's the females who make the rules. Even when the females are the paying customers, they could decide whether the guy hangs and parties with them yeah. or if they go off to a room or how much touching yeah. goes on yeah. because dudes, especially male strippers, are they're a pretty lawless group. You know what I mean? They have a lot of scruples and mm-mm, morals. Mm-mm. So I think when the woman shows up to the bachelor party, then the guys are kind of kick the tires.
Right.
Like, you want
to
hang
what
out.
She's about.
You
yeah.
want a hard
you like
seltzer.
To party. Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. But right. when the male shows up, I don't think he knows when to leave or what the. What the deal
when
is.
When she like starts yelling scat on the porch.
With the broom.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not my thing. It's not, I got all that at home now. I'm not into it. So I said, please, no penis. I don't want that basic bitch shit. No offense if anyone else is into it. It's not my thing. Oh. So didn't do that and, you know, just kept it classy well, adjacent.
If you find male strippers sad, Gina, we got you covered. Oh, wait.
I know where this is going.
New computer.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll tell us when it's time. So you can scroll through. I'm not, you know, whatever we got. So, yeah, look at the pictures. Having a great time. That's the view from my room. They made a Troop Beverly Hills, but it was Troop Gina Grad. Very cute. Mm-hmm. All over the place. And even bought. Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
Hey, buddy. Welcome to the Hacienda that John DeLorean used to own. They lost it. Obviously, he's had a pretty. Well, look. He's loved, but he's lost, you know. I just saw a doc on John DeLorean. You know, he worked for Pontiac. Back in Detroit back in the day. Some would say he's the father of the GTO. That's Gran Turismo there. But anyway, went off to Ireland, decided to make his own custom car company, hooked up with Christina Ferrari. We had a Ferrari and a DeLorean parked in the same master suite. Woo! Jake Ottoman 5. Ottoman 5, Jake. Now, where was I? You got your dick sock? Tube sock? Anyway, John DeLorean went on to get money from the Irish government to go ahead and, open a factory and sell those cars. And then Steve Wetbar. See, we need Steve at the wet bar, please. Or, at the island then. Whatever's in the kitchen there. Whatever they got to stole. So he gets money from the Irish government. He then opens up this thing. He immediately starts losing money, so he has to do a cocaine deal. Selling cocaine to raise money to keep his factory alive. Ends up getting busted because it's a setup by the feds. Don't get me started on narcs! I hope we don't have any narc bitches in this room. So I gotta tell you, man, I can smell you. I'll tell you, and I can smell you. I smell those narcs, even she narcs. Dave, let's have you in the entry hall, please. And, stay away from the wooden bowl with the keys in it. Those aren't yours. Just get the dick sock and, I don't know. Let's go counterclockwise this time. Anyway, DeLorean gets set up like a bowling pin by the feds. They filmed the whole thing. I call it entrapment. I've had my run-ins with narcs. And they're lady narcs out there, too. And all just fella narcs. Anyway, this guy gets cuffed and gets perp-walked right down there. And next thing you know, he's rotting away in jail. But I'll tell you who really suffered. Wasn't the narcs, wasn't the feds, wasn't the Colombian drug lords who sold him to Bolivian shale. I think it was Seven Keys. But it's the hardworking men and women who worked in that factory, who built those DeLoreans. They're the ones who are out of work because of the goddamn narcs.
DJ knew an awful lot about cars.
Yeah.
John DeLorean specifically.
Yeah.
Jake, couch four.
Jake, couch, love seat three.
Yeah.
All right.
So didn't have that because I was afraid that was going to happen. But a girlfriend of mine did purchase a movie projector and an outdoor movie screen to watch basic bitch movies, which I'm down with. Dirty Dancing, Pretty Woman. Everybody's smoking. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's eating the edibles. Everybody's having a good time. And because the weekend wouldn't really be complete without a stripper.
Mm-hmm.
My own fiance did FaceTime in dolphin shorts, a hot house cucumber, had props, whipped cream all over himself. He did give the ladies what they wanted. He reminded everyone why I stick with him, and that was really funny. Other than that,
wait, what's the reason?
So
how dare you? So there was one. Mm-hmm. There was one surprise.
Isn't there one? Like, there's usually one chick.
Yeah.
Like. Okay, I'll put to you this way: the dude bachelor parties.
Yeah.
You know, people are getting the booze and the vodka, and then they're getting the beers and everything. But there's always one dude who wants some Coke. Mm. You know what I mean? Sure. He's trying to kind of make it everyone's idea.
Yep,
like,
hey,
why don't we get this party going? It's been 15 minutes since I've done a rail.
There's like, always one who wants to escalate.
Yeah, Rob, come with me. Let's go into town. Let's just see. Let's just check out some of the local collar down here. Let's
I met a guy earlier.
Right. Like, there's the one person that wants to do the Coke. Everyone else is fine with the beers and the wine. But there's that one dude. It's got to be the one chick who wants some dick.
You are
in that group, right?
Coke and dick. You are correct. And guess what?
Is it the leather jacket chick?
No,
it's got to be her.
No.
I got her pegged.
Nope. She couldn't make it that weekend.
No.
So she does exist. She's not in that picture.
Coke and dick
the Coke
chick.
And dick girl is not in the picture and did not come.
At home, icing her coos down.
Exactly right.
She couldn't leave the 100-mile radius
exactly.
of her ankle bracelet.
So I'm also not super
her
into...
P.O.'s not cool?
It's like, do you know her? Did I bring her before? It's, I'm not into surprises generally, but they did get me one time. We're floating in the pool. All is good. People are smoking, drinking, having a good time. This old woman wanders onto the property, and I was like, anybody want to take care of this? And no one's moving, and no one's looking at me. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I hear her say the magic words, "Hi, everybody. I'm the alpaca lady." And I started crying. I was so excited. I got to get up like the birthday girl and go get the alpacas. And we have a couple pictures. I was walking them around, feeding them. So we had all these alpacas. We had chinchillas. We had all like farm animal fun, like ducks and bunnies.
They brought the petting zoo to you?
They brought me a petting zoo, but specifically it was the alpacas because I love alpacas. So they brought alpacas. We all hung out. We fed them. They're rescues, by the way. And, you know, we're hanging out, having a great time. And then she leaves me, go back to smoking and drinking.
Then the male stripper showed up, whose name, Al.
Pack
of fudge.
Alpaca.
Line it up.
I mean, talk about basic bitches. The alpacas were named Allie and Paca.
Yeah. That's so I've been to enough dude bachelor parties in like Vegas where there's always the dude who really shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, because he's not that close to the bride or the groom or the best man or anything. He's some friend of one of the other dudes.
Most commonly like a brother or cousin of the bride or work friend.
That dude gets the drunkest and is the most out of line with the stripper.
Yeah.
And it's like, that dude needs to keep a low profile. He really shouldn't
be here.
But that is the guy who gets the most loaded and gets the most handsies with the stripper.
Okay, you are 100% right. It is exactly the same with chicks. We've had this at two other bachelorette weekends. Because I learn from other people's mistakes, we culled this list down. This is the inner circle. These are all my friends. There's no one-step-away friend. Those girls from other shit were not invited. This was just local girls.
Was there a discussion, a consideration to bring a guy on the trip? Perhaps a gay or just a guy?
No, and it's funny you should ask. Because my friend asked me, like, well, what about so-and-so? You guys are... You know what? At this age, they don't want us at their parties. Like, I don't go to white party in Palm Spring anymore. Like, they don't want to...
No, you're right.
So it's like, this is us growing up. Like, they don't want to be invited to bachelorette weekend, and they don't want me going to white party. So it's a little more segregated than it was, like, in our 20s.
Good for you.
But it was very chill. It was very relaxing. It was very fun, very beautiful. And I really appreciated it.
That's awesome.
I went to a bachelor party in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh.
And
the international bachelor party. You have to have made it, or you're asking your buddies for a lot.
Yeah. It's a rich man, poor man, or you just live there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But
from there.
It is rich man, poor man, bachelor party in Mexico. Mexico. Like, because I'm sure there's plenty of them for
that
the good folks that live
locals,
in Mexico.
Of course.
So they brought this one guy who was a bookworm and studious and a bore and a square and for some reason, one of the guys like, oh, my, and it was someone's brother-in-law, and he was the squarest, blue-bloodiest, whatever. He sat there and read the entire time.
Oh, good.
What an offense.
We were, you know, hitting the clubs and having a good time and seeing how many chicks we could get in a hot tub.
He's like, keep it down, please.
And then at some point, we just got up and he was gone.
Nice.
He just left.
That's great.
That's a nice Irish goodbye.
First off, what do you think goes on in a Mexican bachelor party? And then also, once he got up and left, then the dude who invited him, because it was his brother-in-law, was like, holy shit, he's taken all of this information that he's been offended by, and he's taken it back to the ladies. New York.
Yeah.
And then it ruined it for that guy. It was, you really got to pare it down.
Yeah. Feel free to say no. If you're that guy who's invited, if you're enough to self-evaluate and you've been invited, you don't know the guy that well, or he's a relative, he's like an in-law, feel free to say, you know what, sounds awesome, I got something else going on, or...
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just happy that I have taken all the lessons I've learned, all the things I've seen for the wedding itself and the bachelorette, but like no bridal party, none, all the things I've seen that I'm like, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that, I don't like that, and they don't exist in my world. So we had a great time.
It's the reverse buffet.
They're exactly right.
We had a Vegas one a million years ago, and like the stripper knocked on the door, and she was not as advertised.
Oh, bait and switch, master bait and switch. Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird. Like then, like what do you do?
We've been there with the dudes.
Protocol? How do you get her out of there? Like, and then of course, dudes are just like, oh fuck it, and we just invited her
that
in.
That was nice of you.
She was. What she lacked in aesthetic beauty, she made up for with her attitude.
Her willingness.
Like, she was naked and squatting on people. And
good for her.
Dumping beer down her face.
And trough.
Giving guys the
golden waterfall. Yeah.
That's right. The Arroyo. And,
just poor guys. Like, I don't really want to. It was like a mechanic getting in a creeper and sliding under the worst jalopy ever made. Like, it's like, I don't want to get under that transmission. Yeah. Like, go.
Go. This is fix.
And she got on him and she's like, this is the golden waterfall. And she was dumping beer all down to her lowest point, which would then drip onto his face.
And mingle with whatever she's got going on.
Oh, and everyone's sitting there and I just yelled, give him the mudslide. And the whole place just went nuts. Like, I've never heard, guys were stoned and drunk, but it erupted. The laughter was so insane.
That's great. Yeah. I've told you before. Another bachelorette party, we ordered a guy not as advertised as well in really oversized, saggy, like Gap boxer briefs, and it's like you can't. I mean, I know beggars can't be choosers in San Luis Obispo, which sounds like a country song, but that's the thing. It's like, what do you do with these guys? They don't even come prepared. They don't have the banana hammock. It was a farce.
Yeah.
We were offended.
I say a charade.
Yes, thank you.
Gary.
All right, so that
I got to tell this story.
Oh, please.
I haven't told in probably, I think I told it once on here, who knows, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Speaking of ordering at a bachelor party and the product not showing up as advertised, I'm still upset about this.
You seem like it.
I was on a bachelor party in Las Vegas when I was in my early 20s for 3 friends who were getting married within a month of each other. And they're all good friends from college.
Yeah,
and they're like, hey, let's just have one big bachelor party. It was like 25 guys, you know, their friends and whatever, our friends from college. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We're all looking forward to it. One of the friends, he's a good guy. He had idiot friends. He had idiot friends from, let's just say Ohio, because it was Ohio. He had idiot friends from Ohio, and they found each other hilarious. Hilarious! and when they got together at the bachelor party, their hijinks from God knows how many years ensued, and they're like, hey, I got a great idea. We're all going to go up to the room. We had one suite and a bunch of regular rooms, right? We're all going to go up to the suite. We hired a clown.
Mm. You like a stripper clown?
No. A fucking old, decrepit clown. Mm-hmm. And they're like, isn't that hilarious? I'm like, no, that's not hilarious at all. And they're like, it's going to be great.
Yeah,
and
so
we got up to the suite. blindfolded one of the bachelors. They're here to get friend. And here comes the fucking clown, this 55-year-old dude looking decrepit and dirty. And they undid the blindfold. It's like, oh, ha, ha, clown. Now there's a fucking clown in our room drinking our beer for the next 30 minutes. And I was like, what? You idiots. And they're like, oh, it's going to be $20 a piece. Like, what? No, I'm 22 years old. I don't have $20 to spend on a fucking clown.
You know what people don't?
A clown!
I listen, I went to the Queen Mary and looked at trannies, as we would call them back then. You know what people don't get? And I've noticed this a lot with, like, life. It's like, let's just say the reveal is side-splittingly funny.
Mm-hmm.
What happens 12 seconds after the reveal? You have to sort of plan on what happens after that.
The lesson I'm going to impart to Tess is the clown hangs out. In life, the clown hangs out.
Yes.
You got something to scat.
When I was at the Queen Mary looking at the he-she's, it was like, oh, this was super funny when everyone thought they were going to a strip club and ended up at the Queen Mary.
That's right.
But 10 seconds after now, our asses hit the fucking bar stool, we're like, now can we get the fuck out of here?
Yes.
And that's exactly how I feel about the stripper, the male stripper in general. Oh, okay, we're all having a good time. And then you start pretending like you're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same thing.
Right.
The alpacas, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Oh, my $20 back.
It's a twist. On the other hand, I went to a friend of mine. You know, so when I was in high school, I had my friends, my do anything, you know, my Ray and Chris and all those guys. And we went to this other guy's bachelor party. The stripper handcuffed him to like a, you know, dining room chair.
Do that.
And
gave everyone a flashlight. And the deal was
they sweated him.
They shut all the lights. They give the audience the flashlight. Then they handcuff the guy with his hands behind him on the dinette chair. And then like she goes to, I don't know what the hell she did with him, but now this guy's handcuffed and Ray smacks his dick with a flashlight. I mean, Ray goes and conks his dick with a flashlight.
This is very promising young woman, Brian.
So this is like
I'm down.
One half of my friends from high school, and then the other half were the Jewish guys who went to Cal and UCLA and, you know, became lawyers and dentists and stuff. And I went to their bachelor party. We went to like a topless joint. We sat there for like 45 minutes. We ended up back in this guy's hotel room. We sat there and drank like room temperature Strohs. And at about 10:15, like everyone just looked at their watch and went like, well, SportsCenter's going to be on soon. It's time to turn in. And everyone just went home. Like it was the least bachelor. I think there's a sweet spot between getting your dick hit with a flashlight and sitting in a hotel room and calling it a night at 9:30. Like, more
find
effort.
That sweet spot.
Yeah.
More effort needs to be put in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you do, you know, we always talk about, you know, mentors and tutelage and reading up on and learning. You learn much more from all the stuff you don't want to happen again.
Yes.
All your bad experiences 100%. At other people's bachelor and bachelorette parties.
Once
and
bitten, twice shy.
Let's not do that.
100%.
Speaking of sad strippers, and Adam, I told you the story of Anderson's bachelor party, which I went to. The stripper they hired came to the hotel room. She got 99.8% naked.
No.
The one thing she was wearing was an ankle bracelet.
Oh.
Like a monitor?
I'm relieved.
That's awesome.
I thought you were going to say tampon.
No!
That's all relieved.
Ankle
I'm
bracelet.
So relieved. But now I start to think about the
don't
tampon.
Don't get beer on it.
All right. Let's see. Let me hit us. Oh, what do we got here? Let's talk about Simply Safe. Yeah, there you go. Remember the safe, secure feeling as a kid you'd have getting tucked into bed? I don't, but maybe you do. Feeling of security only comes through a human connection. That's why the people at Simply Safe Home Security are so important. Simply Safe has an award-winning system with all the tech you'd expect, but the people, it's the people at Simply Safe that take it to the next level. Whether it's a fire, a burglary, a medical emergency, burst pipe, a problem, you can talk to someone at Simply Safe, even if you just need someone to help you get it set up. Simply Safe has a person with the expertise you need 24/7. It is Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
To find out how Simply Safe can help make you feel safe and secure at home, visit simplysafe.com/Adam today to customize your system and get a free security camera. That's simplysafe.com/Adam today.
All right. Let's see. We have much to talk about of the trials and travels and tribulations and Mike's parents chilling with us the whole time.
Really?
Oh, Mike's parents picked us up at the airport, stayed in the same hotel we're at.
Coach Tamarillo?
Yep. Went to the shows, took us out for barbecue. I mean, they're the cutest couple in the world. And we'll tell you all about that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting? You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Adam? Do any of your ex-girlfriends know who or what you became? You reference them all the time on your shows, your stories and whatnot, but do any of them know that you became successful and what you've done and whatnot, and or have they ever tried to reach out to you? Thanks, bro.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Doesn't seem like it.
You're pretty Googleable, searchable, findable.
They do. They're playing it pretty close to the vest.
They're playing it coy.
Yeah, I've not had a lot of folks reach out. When we were doing the Man Show a million years ago, we were always talking about this bit of reaching out to the old girls they used to date and kind of having them go, well, now aren't you sorry you didn't date him for, you know, go on a second date with him. The guy's on a TV show. But none of them really shared our sense of humor about that. There's a few, Man Show fails. I remember trying to get Lorena Bobbitt on once. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't come on, you know.
Just for fun? Not interested?
Couldn't get everyone.
Human interest guest.
Human interest guest. All the time. Did go out with, speaking of the Man Show, with Jimmy and Danny Two Sheets last night. And Cousin Sal as well. We all hung out. They came over. We went out to a place in Venice. I was thinking about Brian for this place. Yeah. It's called Felix.
Oh, I love Felix. Sorry, awesome. Myself. I love Felix.
Yeah.
The pasta, I haven't been there in many years because of keto, but they make amazing pasta.
Oh,
really,
tube rigatoni. Sleep on the bigger tube pasta.
They make their own in house out of the flour and salt and water. It's spectacular. They make great pizza. They make their own bread. They do everything great.
One of the rare situations where Jimmy just said to the chef, who of course knows Jimmy, just said, just keep bringing stuff you think we'll like.
We'll say when.
And they did, and it was goddamn awesome.
No, the pasta's great. It's legit fantastic. I think the guy who runs the place is an American who studied pasta making in Italy. He had a co-restaurant in Culver City, and that went away, and then he opened this one, and he makes his own pasta, and he's a master. He's spectacular.
So what was your favorite thing?
Brian's right. They did a big tube. I don't know what to call it. It's like rigatoni, but like a big bore rigatoni. Mm-hmm. It always seems to be pasta or spaghetti or bow tie something, but the big bore rigatoni
like
is great with some, I think it had like beef cheek or something in it. It was so goddamn savory and so goddamn good. And then at the end, brought out a big T-bone steak.
For the end.
Chris.
Cut everything up, but set the T-bone up like that Jesus in Rio de Janeiro, just presiding over meat. Yeah. So
amazing.
Good.
Kevin Funky, I think, is the guy who runs Felix, the chef.
Anyway, it was fantastic.
I'm so glad you went. That's a long haul for your house, but that's a great place.
Oh, yeah. It was great. It was great hanging with the boys.
So we got all that in last night, which was totally fun. Also, so I told you guys that Mike had his parents doing all the work. They picked us up from the airport. They took us back to the hotel. They took us to the venue and back. They took us to the barbecue place.
Wow.
They're the cutest. I don't know that we're going to have these couples in the future. Like nice, cute, sort of regular. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a vestige of America, kind of the way it used to be. Like people were friendly. They have pet names for each other. They work hard, but they're a little bit corny. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
not sarcastic. It's not ironic.
They're genuine.
Right. Like a genuine kind of nice couple. Mm-hmm. Like I can't see that. I mean, because everyone's just sort of staring at their phone now. And we'll tell you some stories about them. But and on the way back, met us in the lobby at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, they are Timurillos.
Yeah, they're there. No yawning. Just just ready to roll.
I remember we were at the airport and we're talking about how awesome Mike's parents were. And then Adam just looks at Mike in disgust and just goes, "You should be better."
Well, he should. I mean, considering his parents.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Eric Kramer's going to be on the show tomorrow. My long-lost Pop Warner football buddy, who you've heard us talk about in the past. Updates on Captain Steubing's jacket.
Oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Updates.
The update is, Adam, that it's yours. A fan, Florence, she was your ball puller in San Francisco.
Love her.
Yeah, she bought it, and she is giving it to you.
Oh,
really?
My God.
Do what you want with it.
Wow.
We should have some sort of a Boy Scout presentation ceremony.
That, you know, getting back to, nostalgia and what we're talking about and, like, parting and stuff like that. I had a friend. You guys tell me if you had this friend, but I'm going to bring this back to Captain Steubing's jacket.
Good.
I had a friend that somehow found, you know, back when you couldn't go to Amazon and order anything or do anything, he had a full Budweiser outfit. He had the slacks. He had the Budweiser blazer. He had like the Budweiser belt. Okay. And whenever we partied, he'd show up in his Budweiser. And it brought us a lot of joy to know that Dave was ready to go with his Budweiser outfit. I feel the same way about Captain Steubing's jacket. That can be the I'm here to party jacket.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What? We do have a cruise coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
People are going to confuse you for the real captain.
We got the Corolla barbecue coming
true.
Up.
Oh, I mean, smart. You'll be the cruise director.
I think
this is great.
I think the Steubing jacket must be donned.
I think that would be amazing.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Fringe and all.
Did we find out what the winning bid was, Chris? It was $500 to get started.
Get
I don't know.
In the door.
I don't know how it ended. And if it's in fact the hero jacket, that thing should have gone for quite a pretty penny in my world. But we shall see.
Yeah, the website just says it's sold. There's no price for how much it's sold for.
Chris got yelled at on the airplane on the flight home. What was that story, Chris?
Well, remember a few weeks ago when Brian was talking about he flew and when they were trying to offer drinks, they had like that.
Oh yeah.
That big laminated sheet that says 1, 2, 3, 4, and you just give a number, whatever you want. And only four choices. Well, we flew Delta, and they had all the regular choices, so they actually would just ask you what you want, and now you have options. Like coffee is now an option. And I was sitting.
Wow.
I was sitting
on a plane.
Yeah, I know. We are back. We are back at least that far. So I'm sitting on the window seat, and they push the card over, and she goes, "What can I get you to drink?" And I just wanted a water. So I said, "Oh, I'll have a water." And then our masks were on. The plane's loud, so she's like, "Oh, I can't hear you. What do you want?" And I said, "Water." And she's shaking her head like she doesn't understand me, pointing at her ear. And then
that must be the most commonly ordered thing on the plane.
Yeah. And I said, "Water." And then she takes a Coke and she raises it. And I shake my head, "No." So then I pull my mask down to mouth the word water. I'm like, "Water." And she goes, "Put your mask back up."
Oh, my God.
She baited you, man.
In 0.01 seconds, she yelled at me, "Put my mask back up."
We haven't, I didn't find the Delta crew nearly as enthusiastic as when we're flying Alaska.
Alaska
to Seattle. That was the most hyped up I've ever seen a crew as far as the mask go, to the point where I thought Mike was going to be asked to leave the plane. But the Delta seemed a little more laid back.
Yeah.
But not, about Chris. Not so much for you, huh?
Yeah, she must not have liked me very much.
What was the cocktail sitch? Because I'm taking an equally long flight the other direction in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to enjoy myself.
Oh, you're going to Hawaii?
That's right.
So here's the thing. Here's what I've figured out on the planes. The booze is a little catch-as-catch-can. Not exactly sure. They had in first class. Oh, in coach, I think you could purchase something. It's first off, it's always unclear whether they're charging for the booze drink or not. Sometimes they just don't care. Right. Other times they're super, you know, they get out the thing.
Sure.
I would recommend, I don't know. I mean, I know you're not going to get a martini on a plane or whatever. No. But
bourbon or something.
Get a couple of travelers of whatever it is you like, whatever it is your weapon of choice is.
Certainly on the table. I was wondering if they were serving, you know, God forbid, I want a little sip of wine or champagne.
No way to know.
You know, celebrate the occasion.
Hard to tell. Mm.
You didn't partake? Or you had the travelers?
I will bring a couple of travelers with me, but Delta served... would serve you a cocktail. But again, somehow something happened to lemons and limes in first class. We don't do that. Like, we don't have that. I actually, some fan just sent me some powdered lime or whatever. It's not that satisfying, but if you're getting a vodka soda water,
you dump
it in there. I think it's all just an excuse to not do a bunch of shit, because I don't know what limes have to do with COVID in first class, other than it's one more. They've kind of got, it kind of reminds me, like, once you kind of start going down this path, I mean, people will do that. People kind of do it with their excuses, you know? You know the people that do an excuse, and the excuse, it should be a little more accurate, but it's just this huge sort of... it's like an RV cover that'll just cover everything. Like, they'll go like, oh, I had to go in and get my teeth cleaned this morning. So, you know, and it's like, all right, that's from 9 to 10, but now you can't come to work at 2 or like they'll make rock soup out of their excuse. Like, it's a little bit of something and it's not nothing, but then they just get it to.
Yeah. But how does that actually affect the thing we're talking about?
The whole COVID thing on the airline has just kind of been like, well, you know, because of COVID.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with cut up lemons in first class? Well, it's like, well, because.
Yeah.
In fact, what we're doing.
Lemons are antibacterial, so it'd be good.
I would argue that. But it's all the shit they didn't want to do.
Right.
Now they're not doing it anyway. And because of COVID, they sort of rode this train after 9/11 for a while. No one's going to go, what the fuck? Come on now. Nope. It's going to, everyone's
safety.
Doing their part.
Yes.
Abundance of caution.
Right. It's abundance of caution. They had 2 boxes they offered for lunch in first class. I just denied both boxes.
Real quick, yes. I'm going to have a little tease for the news. You're not imagining things when flights are being delayed and canceled right and left, and I have the reason why.
Thank God. That's happened to me multiple times.
Yep, it happened to my friend last night because they were missing a pilot. He just disappeared. And this is not uncommon, and I'll tell you why.
All right. Well, Mike's whole thing was some nefarious thing to make more money for the airlines. But we shall see.
Did he bring his box cutter and not use it?
No, but, you know, Mike did drive with his parents in the car, and he drove slower than he's ever driven.
Oh, my God.
Mom and Dad are watching.
It's still the coach to him.
Mm-hmm. I told him I didn't spill any of my drink on me.
That's not a Mike ride.
Take a lap.
Yeah, we'll tell you. We'll get in a little more detail with that because we got a little road trip story coming your way. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And then there is your automotive policy. Get your bundle working with Geico. Take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and just bundle it up with your automotive policy. And speaking of that, a little road trip story, because we were on the road. We covered quite some ground in North Carolina with Mike's super chatty parents. Again, they were telling us every college we were passing. They were telling us all what industry was everywhere.
Private tour.
They wouldn't. His mom didn't want me to sit on the hot seat when we came back from barbecue, so she took like a doily and spread it out on the
seat.
She
laid down the cape for you?
She refused to let Adam sit. Like, yeah.
She went full Walter Raleigh.
Wow, in Raleigh.
In Raleigh. That's
what,
right.
Are they in, how old would you say they are?
They're in their 80s.
Wow.
And it, also that kind of thing where she's explaining they have another car, and that car is almost 350,000 miles, and they want to get it up to 500,000 miles.
Yeah,
and so excited to get it to 500,000, and all the stuff my mom would never. If you said to my mom, "How many miles are on your car?" She'd go, "I don't. Why should
how
I?
Should know? I know
who,
that?
Who knows?"
Ironically, nobody, she might have 500,000, but she had no idea.
She'd get angry that you asked, and then want to know why you want. And then at some point, she would feel threatened by it,
right.
And then she would just put you off by going, "Nobody knows." Also, Mike's mom. Mike's mom, when we were leaving, she's like, "I'm going to write a letter to that barbecue person, and I'm going to send him a note telling him how much we enjoyed." She's also one of these people. Here's another bygone whatever. Writing letters to everyone, like politicians, mm-hmm. and I wrote a letter to the governor, and I told him that I didn't, like, they're writing letters everywhere.
They probably appreciate a Yelp review more, but that's okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, when she said she was going to send them a letter, Adam goes, "Handwritten?" And she was like, "Yeah, of course.
Obviously.
But is there any other way to do it?"
She's proud of her penmanship.
Yeah, with her fountain pen,
She said she took penmanship classes, and she had to show it off.
And that was another thing I was thinking, like, who's going to know cursive and penmanship and all that? Who's ever going to write a handwritten letter?
I don't even know how to write a U.
Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So they picked us up. They were down in the lobby at 5:30 waiting for us when we left.
Where do they live?
Asheville.
Wow.
And do they – it was always they? Like, just it just takes one person to drive a car.
They were always together.
Oh,
she was calling him Dad or something like that. Daddy. She's calling Mike Michael.
Oh my God.
He was driving well, like under the speed limit, and not driving this crazy erratic fashion that we know him for.
Yeah, he's famous
signature. His signature. Erratic
moves,
fashions. Yeah. He was driving normally.
Yeah, we always talk about, like, oh, the Brady Bunch. That family doesn't exist. Well, they do. I think they do, and it's the August.
She sat in the back, you know, and she was given directions.
She sat in the back?
She was navigating from the back seat.
Wow.
He was coach. And it was funny, you know, old coach, you know, it was like, well, we're going to go over there. Eat some barbecue, get our game meal in, you know, like that kind of.
Sure, he's always in that mode.
Yes, that mode.
Did Mike seem different? Was he a different kind of Mike?
He drove 27 miles an hour slower on
but
the highway.
But was he, you know, a little yes sir, no sir? Was he nicer?
It probably seemed about the same.
Maybe just a touch more mellow, but.
Touch more mellow. Okay. At some point on the way to the airport, at, I don't know, 5:45 on Sunday, was announced. Mike's mom announced that it was their daughter's birthday. And as tradition would have it, we'd have to call her.
We?
Yeah. And sing happy birthday to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we said, well, it's 5:45 in the morning and it's Sunday, so she may not be standing by the phone. Yeah. And then she said, oh, no, she keeps the phone in the kitchen. And that's where she keeps it, so we can call.
Yeah, but she may not be there.
Leave all we want.
Leave a message.
We can leave any message we want.
Yeah, this is tradition. Okay. We have to do it.
Yeah. So, oh, we actually have the recording.
Yeah, I got the voicemail audio. Get the voice. Listen to it.
All right, here it is.
Okay, today's the day, the big B day. We have a choir here to sing you happy birthday. We're heading to the airport in Raleigh, North Carolina with Michael. He's here with Adam, with Chris, with Daddy, and me. And here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Raylan.
Oh.
Happy birthday you and many more.
Oh. God, I
guess you can tell it's 5:58 Eastern time. Anyway, have a wonderful day, darling.
Hang it up.
We love you. We miss you. And hugs and kisses from Mimi and Pap-Pap for the boys.
Mimi and Pap-Pap.
Yes. Have a great day. I hope you got my gift. Let me know.
Oh. She sounds just like Elaine Stritch, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. People remember the toast of Broadway, Elaine Stritch.
I love that you know who I'm talking
about. She's all... Yeah, Mike's mom is like all business, too.
I love it.
I appreciate that she paced up happy birthday, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping she'd say, Michael and his little friend Adam.
Well, Michael and his little friend Adam got back to the hotel about 1 a.m. after the shows and had a couple of pops and went to bed about 1:45 and then woke up at 4:45. Mm-hmm. So it was not on my list of things to do,
driving to
the airport. Yeah. But God bless him. Yeah. Nothing better than that. And like I said, those people used to be all over the place in this country.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it was. Now it's a bunch of Karens and a bunch of guys marching for, and everyone's angry at everyone else. But
enjoy it while you can.
That was it right now. That's and I'll just put a cap on it by thanking Geico for sponsoring that segment. Go to geico.com today. That is geico.com. Yeah, it was kind of nice. Like normally, and maybe you guys are this way, but when we go out, you know, we get one meal. The meal is lunch on Saturday because Friday night's kind of shot because there's two shows at the club, and then Saturday night shot because there's two shows at the club, and then it's up crack of dawn on Sunday and out.
Right.
You know, so it's like I really look forward to those barbecue meals, and that barbecue meal was dad, mom, and five other guys at the barbecue place, which I always was kind of like, is there time to just eat and talk shit about people that these people don't know?
That's right.
But great group, and kind of had that like, glad I did.
Family time.
Like these guys were into other stuff, and they talked about where they moved from and the business they were in, and it was just like,
it was just like
a nice group of dudes, and
look, Chris with the backwards cap,
and. What's his name? I was sitting next to Augie, Mike's dad, and at some point, like, some guy went, well, I made ice cream that has 7% alcohol. And he's like, well, we've got to try it. You know, and I was like, we don't have to. He's like, oh, we're trying it. And he opened it, and he was passing it and handing, like, a spoon to everybody.
It is so hot and humid. That thing melted in a second.
It looks like it could be glasses, but please tell me his dad's wearing a bolo tie.
No, it's glasses. Okay. But He looks every bit the part of ex-coach and Mike's dad.
Yes.
And
you talk X's and O's with him?
They were talking. Mike and him and mom, who may know more about college football than dad at this point, had a long, deep dive into like the SEC and stuff like that and all these places.
So Augie's dad, we call him Augie. So that's Augie. And if you mention any city to him, he'll just be like, coach there. I know the high school's out there and everything. Like, he just, whatever city you mention, he's familiar with it.
And look at that head of hair.
Yeah, big head of hair. Wow. And everyone had a good time.
Oh,
so
great.
It's good, you know, like I said, it's good to get out and meet people and all that stuff. Let's see, line one. Did line one fall off?
No.
I'm missing?
No,
Ben, 33, North Carolina.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guy.
I was at...
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Ben?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to call and say I was at the show on Saturday, first time for a live pod, and it was amazing.
Oh, good. So you went to the early show.
Went to the early show, and my wife had a good time, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because she's like, she said, it's not stand-up. I said, well, kind of. It's a live podcast. She said, okay.
Was she familiar with the show, or is this someone that was like being brought in, like, their first time?
She passively listens when we go on car trips.
Nice.
Mm. Did you guys say hi after the show?
We did not.
Oh, well, that was another person that dragged somebody else to the show. Well, thanks for coming out, Ben. And it's kind of nice because you do a live show, podcast, early show, and then a stand-up show, the second show. But one of the things I never really anticipated, which is a nice little windfall, is like a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to the first show, and then I'm going to come back and see the second show because it's a different show.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who bought tickets to the first show, loved it so much, that went around to the box office and bought more just to go.
That's awesome. Show.
Well, thanks, Ben, and thanks your wife to your wife for having an open mind.
I will. I just hope that someday that you fulfill your dream of getting a haircut at a black barbershop.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't pull it off.
Aim high.
I tried. I tried to get a haircut at a black barbershop.
They weren't having it?
No. As a matter of fact, I...
Got to be one of locking you.
Oh. Comical. I don't know if you guys are like me. Haircuts for me is like pizza. When you think about pizza and you want pizza, and then it just is. Now you need right. pizza. That's nothothing else will do. Once I think I got to get my haircut, mm-hmm. then if I go wait at the black barbershop in North Carolina before the early show and I can't get my haircut, when I got back, I was like, I got to get my haircut. Oh, I got my haircut at the whitest barbershop at a mall in Malibu.
Oh, God. Oh,
wow. So I went. I tried.
You went to the ends of the earth.
Yeah. It did not work.
I imagine the bedside manner was a little different. Conversations were a little different.
I guess. Yeah. This was, a lot of discussion on scissors versus clippers.
Okay. Far apart spiritually, far apart geographically.
Yeah. Huh. Let's see. Let's talk to Rich, 57, from Memphis. Rich?
Hey, Adam. Hey, crew. Hey, by the way, Adam, next time you're in Memphis, I'll take you to one of the best barbers in town, Antonio Jones.
Antonio Jones.
I like that.
Malibu exactly barber right. to the stars.
you want a good barbershop experience, you'll get one. Hey, listen, my question to you guys, and I'm curious about this, because, you know, given the NBA playoffs are in the tank right now. The ratings are in the tank. And, you know, you look at LeBron's new movie, Space Jam, in the tank. Some of the cable news and the award shows are kind of in the tank. Are ratings as important as they were 5 years ago or when I was coming up? Or are all of these shows and the NBA, et cetera, are they all so subsidized by big business and other deep pockets that the ratings really don't matter anymore and they don't keep their eye on them like we once did?
I can tell you that, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Johnny Carson would do right. a 26 share right. every night, and it's not that anymore.
They're
Everything's been
out.
Broken off and, yeah. and spread out. But it's kind of interesting in that if you're the NBA, and you're talking about, you know, political stuff. Like, so if you're the NBA and you go, mm-hmm. we're going to be down with the cause, then you right. might know that might hurt ratings. Like, it might, mm-hmm. you know, there's been more than one study where people are sort of tired of being preached at sporting events.
Right.
And I didn't want to see Black Lives Matter written on the hardwood or whatever it is. But
right.
there's also studies that say that the corporate world kind of loves it, and people gravitate toward corporations that have, you know, they have skin in the game or whatever. Right. So the viewership could be lower for the NBA because they get a little preachy politically, but Nike is preachy politically, and that seems to help Nike,
right.
and people are attracted to Nike. So maybe it is a little less interest in the actual numbers of people watching and a little more corporate leaning. I don't know.
Well, and wasn't that part of the NBA, like I think spearheaded by LeBron, but coming back during the pandemic and with the bubble, like wasn't it like they're part of their demands? Like you have to paint Black Lives Matter on the court. Mm. We can wear, you know, messages on our jerseys. Like that was part of them even playing.
Yeah, I think in general, if you took your average sports fan and said, would you like during the national anthem, would you prefer everyone stand for it, or would you prefer some take a knee or some stay in the locker room? Then most sports fans go, we like everyone standing for the anthem. So if you then are going to decide to take a knee during the national anthem, then you're going to offend or turn off a certain populace that is watching. But if that's better for Nike, I don't know.
They go harder in the merch direction?
I don't know.
Does it feel a little knee-jerky, though, to assign politics as the reason for everything? Like, I imagine we're talking about TV ratings. Now, how many people are watching on the NBA? NBA skews younger, obviously, than, let's say, golf or whatever. Like, a lot of people watching on the NBA app.
Streaming.
Who's watching on Hulu? Who's, you know what I mean? Who's cut the cord? I imagine the NBA skews much younger than most others, certainly baseballs, you know, probably golf, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't know. Are ratings really down? Or TV ratings obviously are. Is viewership down?
I don't know. I mean, that's also a couple of smaller market teams.
That's another,
not the Lakers playing the Nets or whatever.
Sort of general interest. No one can name most of the player on those.
Well, also, it can also just be everything. It can be partially being preached at. It can be cable cutters, could be, you know, it's a conglomeration, as most things are. Most things are sort of everything. But, I mean, the way you would have to kind of do it, I mean, nothing's apples to apples, but you'd have to kind of go, what sports did they do the least of this in, and what sports did they do the most of it in, and how did that affect the ratings on those sports?
No, that's the closest you can get to a control group. Is like, are baseball ratings down? Because that skews a little bit older, probably a little more conservative. I don't know. There's been a lot of kneeling in baseball. I don't think there has been. You can't really do golf because that's an older viewership, and they're going to watch on TV as opposed to an app. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Shouldn't they?
My understanding is the NFL is going to go really hard into this in the fall, and we're going to see multiple national anthems and things like that. So evidently, they're not too concerned about it.
Well, they seem concerned in another direction. It's all about the dollar.
Well, speaking of which, the ultimate measure would be, I read a story about this, is how much the NFL is charging for ads in the Super Bowl still going up? I imagine it is.
And find that out.
Yeah, and if it is, then that's the ultimate bottom line. They don't give a shit about the ratings.
Right.
They can still charge for the Super Bowl ads. That's all they care about.
Yeah, although the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl, I would also try to figure out what their ratings cost, you know, week 12 9 or whatever it is, because that'll also be an indicator. Anyway, Rich, good. I can't wait for football season to start.
It's almost here. Hard Knocks is coming up.
Yeah. Oh, when does Hard Knocks start? Because I feel like we got
last year.
Typically August. So, like,
who's,
in a few weeks, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, interesting.
Tara.
Or did Tara. Did you say that right? God damn it.
The phonetical spelling is not helping.
Not really.
I'm Tar. T-A-R.
I would say that says Tara.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Tara.
Yes.
Do you go by Tara?
It's whatever you want to call me.
I know.
What are your friends
called? What do you go by?
Tara.
All right. So Tara.
I would never like correct anyone. I
like that.
Weird.
All right. You want to pull some balls in Chicago?
Yeah. I just bought 2 tickets as I was on hold.
She's getting in early.
Now. Thanks,
and
yeah.
What's the occasion? You're calling from Connecticut and you're going to Chicago?
So my friend and her boyfriend just moved to Chicago about a year ago, and I've been trying to make plans to see them because I've never been before. And so I saw that you guys are doing a show,
and I said,
perfect, I'm coming, and I'm making you come with me.
That's going to be awesome.
And hopefully I'll get on stage.
All right, We'll put you in as an early entry, and since we're only doing the one show, I think of doing a stand-up show there. You're
tough
in.
Competition.
You're locked off.
You did it.
I'm locked in.
You're locked
right?
in. Sorry.
It?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Star from Connecticut. We'll
say
hi. Well, what do you do? You do something interesting?
I'm an operating room registered nurse.
Oh, you've seen some things.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting. The last guy we had was a
radiologist.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Get a lot of professionals in that crowd. Thanks, Tara. Mm-hmm.
Stand
okay,
by.
Thank you. We'll stay on the phone?
Yeah, yes, stand
we'll
by.
Put you on hold. We'll see you in Chicago. All right, Brad Thor, New York Times bestselling author, and this guy's been on the show a few times, sold over 15 million books. He's got a new book coming out. Talk to him about special ops and all that good stuff. We'll do that right after this.